Take it with me, and let's go through it. This morning, I want to continue on in our series on how to handle the seasons of life. We want to talk about the season of temptation. Now, temptation is man's oldest problem. It's been around since Adam and Eve. And I'd like to read a letter to start off today. And I want you to sense the writer's struggle with temptation. Let me read it to you. I'm so full of myself. What I don't understand about myself is I decide one way but end up acting another way, doing the things I absolutely despise. I can't seem to be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it. I need something more. A power within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help and I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decided to do good, but I really can't do it. And when I decide not to do bad, then I do it anyway. My decisions don't result in better actions. Something gets the better of me every time. And it happens so regularly that it's predictable. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question this morning? Something gets the better of me. Do you sense the frustration in this writer's letter? Can you hear it? I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit. The amazing thing is this letter is not written by a drug addict on the street or by a prostitute or pimp or a sexual addict. It's not even written by an alcoholic. It's written by St. Paul. 2,000 years ago in Romans chapter 7, he understood the struggle of temptation. The fact is, we all struggle with temptation. How many of you have ever been tempted? Put up your hand. Yeah, I'm in the right crowd this morning. Every one of us has, right? You will never be so great as a Christian that you will stop struggling with temptation. Today, I want to give you 6 keys from God's word on how to handle temptation. Do you want to know these this morning? All right, let's go. Number one, anticipate it. Anticipate it. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be shocked by it. Instead, be prepared. When temptation comes, we usually have 3 different common reactions. The first one is shock. How in the world could I think a thought like that? The second thing is we're frustrated. Why do I keep falling in that same area over and over and over again? And then the third thing that happens is that we get discouraged. And because we always say, I will never change. I can't change. It's not a sin to be tempted, folks. Will you write that down? It's not a sin to be tempted. Sin is giving into temptation, not being tempted. Have you ever been praying and you're really sincere and you're having a great talk with God and all of a sudden the most off-the-wall idea or picture comes into your mind while you're praying? Have you ever had that? And you go, where did that come from? You see, you will be tempted not because you're evil, but because you're a human being. It's what you do with temptation that makes it either right or wrong, good or bad. You see, the moment that you're saved, the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, Satan, like the mafia hitman, puts out a contract on you. Aren't you glad you came this morning? He's plotting and he's scheming 24 hours a day for your downfall. The amazing thing is that if he can't get you to sin, then he'll just intimidate you with the thought that you might. So what's the antidote? The verse for my message this morning that I wrapped this whole service, this message around, is from Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. It says this, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Be prepared. Be watching for it. Be ready for it. Don't be surprised. Just know where it's coming from. It's coming from the devil again. Well, see, when God gives you an idea in your mind, we call that inspiration. All your thoughts that come from God are inspired by him. But when the devil gives you an idea in your mind, we call that temptation. And we are free to choose which thoughts we dwell on. Some of you are thinking, well, is temptation a season of life? Don't we just have it all the time? Yes, we do have it all the time, but there are certain times in your life, certain seasons in your life, when you're more vulnerable to temptation than other times. And it's different for every one of us. What I may be tempted with, it might not even flinch with you. And what you may be tempted by, it doesn't even flinch with me. Some of you are most tempted when you're bored. Some of you are most tempted when you're lonely. Some of you find yourselves very vulnerable when you're tired and you're fatigued. Others when you're under stress. That's when you're tempted. And some of you are tempted when you're with friends on the weekends. And some of you are most tempted right after a great big success or victory. If you're thinking, I'd never behave like that, then let it be a warning to you that you too can fall into temptation when you think that way. When you think you have it all together, when you think you're on a spiritual high, that's when Satan comes in and tempts you the most. Why do I know that? Well, Jesus. The three temptations that we read in the Gospels, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, were on the heels of his baptism, when God came down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It was the glorious moment. It was his commissioning moment. It was when God said and the Holy Spirit came. This was huge. And then it says he's led by the Spirit out into the desert to be tempted. After a major victory, right after, he's tempted. You need to be aware of those times of great success and be prepared for the temptation that will follow it. Number two, accept responsibility for it. A little boy was lost during the Christmas shopping rush. He was standing in an aisle of a busy department store crying out, "I want my mommy." People kept passing by this unhappy youngster and they would give him loonies and toonies. And finally, the storekeeper came over to him and said, "I know where your mother is." The little boy said with his tear-drenched eyes, he said, "So do I, just keep quiet." Accept responsibility for the temptations that occur in your life. Listen, friends, don't blame God. Don't blame other people. Don't even blame the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. You see, even the devil cannot tempt you without your cooperation. Temptation is the pull of your own evil thoughts. Look at this verse. Circle your own and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions. If you had no internal desire, it would not tempt you. Most of your problems you really can look at. You brought on yourself. You just need to accept responsibility and quit blaming others. You spell blame. Be lame. You see, every time you blame somebody, you're being lame. You're not admitting that what the real problem is that you chose. It's amazing to me how some people even try to blame God for their messes in their own life and for their temptations. I've had some people say to me, "Well, God told me to leave my wife and marry this beautiful young lady." God's will never contradict God's word. If God says no, don't do that in the Bible. He will never let you yes. Then he will never tell you a yes when you're feeling differently. One of the most common excuses I've heard a lot of times to justify a multitude of sins is that God just wants to make me happy. And this will make me happy. Well, God wants you happy. Yes, he does want you happy, but he wants you holy more than he wants you happy. He wants you to do what he says, to obey him. And the rules and the principles that are in this book are not here to just make your life miserable. They're actually here for your own good. Don't blame God saying that he wants to make you happy. Third thing, ask God for help. I love what Mark Twain said. I think he's more honest than anybody is. I can resist everything except temptation. You see, God has a 24-hour hotline system. He's willing and waiting to help you with any temptation. He just wants you to admit it. So why don't we ask God for help when we're tempted? Well, I think there's two reasons. One, sometimes we don't ask God for help because we honestly don't want it. We want to give in. We know what's wrong. We just push ahead. The second thing is we don't ask because we're too embarrassed because we keep falling in the same area over and over again. And we want to come back and say, God, it's me again. I've done it again. He's already helped you, and here you are falling back in that same area. Don't ever be embarrassed to ask God for help, because God does not have a limit to his patience. Why does God want you to come to him? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. And Jesus went through everything you are going through, which means he understands. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, Jesus had the same temptations we go through. He never once gave in and sinned. Let us come boldly to God, circle this, and find grace to help us in our times of need. Some of you can't imagine that Jesus has gone through the very temptations that you're going through today, but he has. Was Jesus tempted to lie? Yep. Was Jesus tempted to go on an ego trip? Yep. Did that mean Jesus was tempted to get angry? Yep. Do you think Jesus was tempted sexually? Yep. Because he's not only God, but he's also fully human. And the Bible says that he was tempted in every point as we are, but he didn't give in. And that's the good news this morning. Amen? Many of us don't call on God for help because we use what we call willpower. How many of you have been on a diet and had willpower work for you? I don't think so. I think if I just tough it out, then more willpower will make the day. No, willpower doesn't work. Boat with an automatic pilot that moves the boat north. There are two things that I can do. I can either change the autopilot, or I can, with my bare hands, grab the steering wheel and willfully turn the steering wheel over and force the boat to go in a different way. But when I get tired, when I get weak, when I get distracted, when I let go, it goes right back to where it was. We need to call on God for help. We need extra power. And for those of us that know Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in our life, right? He empowers us to be able to do this. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call to me when trouble comes. What does that mean? You need to be going, Mayday, Mayday, code red, code blue, SOS, help. I know it's not very theological, but it works. He says, call to me in your time of trouble, and I will help you. Ready for number four? Okay. Number four says, admit my struggle to a friend. You don't have to admit it to everybody or go on 60 minutes with your secret sin. It just means that you need to admit it with somebody close to you, and it needs to be a Christian so that they can pray for you and they can support you. I heard about a pastor in the last century who had been talking to an Indian chief who had become a Christian. The Indian chief was talking about the temptation in his mind, and he said, it's like two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog, fighting for each other. And the pastor said to the chief, well, which dog wins? And the Indian said, the one that I feed. You see, the fact is that we all struggle with the exact same temptations. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life, this means the thing that you're embarrassed about and the secret sins you don't want anybody to know about aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problem you have. We're all in the same boat. But God wants us to help each other. He's made a prerequisite to healing that we should share our faults with someone else. It's a prerequisite to healing. Look what it says in James chapter 5, verse 26. Admit your sins to each other so that you may be healed. Now, what it doesn't say here is admit your sins to a preacher or a priest or a counselor. It says to each other so that you may be healed. Don't repress it, confess it. Don't conceal it, reveal it. Getting it off your chest, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. And hiding a hurt only intensifies it. People say all the time that time heals all wounds. That's baloney. If time healed all wounds, and when I'm sitting in the doctor's office or in emergency for 4 hours, I get better. Hasn't happened yet. What does make you well? It's not time. Time won't heal the hurt, that resentment in your life. You need to deal with some spiritual surgery in this area. The way to do that is by sharing with that with a friend who can pray with you, who can encourage you, who can counsel you, who can help you. And there are three dramatic benefits of sharing your temptations with a person or a small group of friends. One, it helps you gain control. Talking about any problem always helps you gain control. Secondly, it relieves inner stress when you reveal your hurt. It's liberating. And when you get in a small group and you begin to share your real self and they share their selves, their issues, that you think, I don't know anybody else that feels like that. I don't know any other parent who ever feel like killing their kids sometimes. I don't know anybody who wants to pull their hair out. I thought I was the only one that ever felt that way. And what happens is when you get in the midst of other people, you find out that they all have the same problems that you do. You see, the problem of unbelievers and believers are identical. The only difference is believers have a source of power greater than themselves to work on it, and unbelievers don't. You see, there is no sin that Christians don't struggle with. What we need to do is just be honest about that and say, yes, we're struggling with this. Let's get some help. And thirdly, it provides support and accountability. You have to have both of these in order to be healed of a habit or a hang-up or a hurt. You need support and you need accountability. That's four of them. You ready for number five? All right, turn to your neighbor and go, you need number five. Turn back to your neighbor and go, you need it worse. All right? Number five. Avoid tempting situations. Alex was trying to save all the change he could in order to buy a baseball glove, but he had a little struggle. One night as he was saying his prayers, her mother overheard him praying fervently, "Oh Lord, please help me to save my money for the baseball glove. And Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down the street." It's common sense that if you hang around a barbershop long enough, you're eventually going to get your hair cut. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. You see, the goal is not how close to the temptation I can get to and not get burned. The goal is how far away can I keep from it. See, Proverbs 14:16, the Bible says, "A wise man turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Only a fool thinks he can handle it." Who are you kidding? You don't go to a bar just to eat pretzels. You need to do a little frank assessment. You need to analyze when and where you are most tempted, where you're most vulnerable. And it's really that simple. Stay away from those situations as much as you can or minimize them. Where are you most tempted? Is it at the airport? On business trips? At home when you're alone? Maybe when the kids are all gone away to school? After school in a parked car? During the weekends when you're watching television? What is it? That's a situation where you're most vulnerable. Psalm 119, verse 59 says, "I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed and turned around and came running back to you." The Bible says, run from temptation. Flee it. If you have to, physically remove yourself. Do it. Just get out of there. How do I know that? Well, this last week I was reading through the story of Joseph. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, a married man trying to seduce him, he was wearing his favorite coat, and she grabbed him by the coat, and he left the coat and split. Friends, sometimes you have to leave the coat to get out of the situation, to run from it. Don't stay around. When you're tempted, get up and change the channel, take a shower, turn on the music, whatever it is, get out of there. Some practical advice here. Don't ever argue with the devil either. You're going to lose every time. You know why I know you're going to lose every time? Because he's had thousands of years thinking up lines to counteract anything that you come up with. Don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. The more you fight a feeling, the more it grows in intensity. All the time you're saying, "I don't," you're focusing on the thing that you don't want. "I don't want that cookie. I don't want that cookie. I don't want that chocolate bar. I don't want that chocolate bar. I don't want that chocolate bar." What am I focusing on? chocolate bar. And in the first service, somebody said, that chocolate bar was really good, too. Don't focus on it. Switch your mind. Refocus. Refocus. And then let me give you the last one very quickly. Number six, affirm God's word. Claim the promises that God has given you in his word about temptation. This is a verse every one of you should memorize. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look at what it says. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I've had many people tell me, I just couldn't help myself, Bob. If you had been in that situation, you would have understood. It was absolutely impossible to resist that temptation. I had no choice but to give in. Whenever I hear somebody say that, I go, are you really calling God a liar? Because listen to this. This verse says to us, there's always going to be a way out. There's always going to be a way out. It may be tough. It may be difficult. It may even be painful. It might even be embarrassing, but there will always be a way out. You cannot legitimately say, I had no choice but to give in. You did have a choice. I do have a choice. God makes sure of that, and that's his promise. But I want you to understand something, that Satan is constantly battling for your mind. And that's where the real battle happens. When God gives you an idea, I shared it before, it's an inspiration. When the devil gives you an idea, that's a temptation. You're choosing every day which thought you're going to dwell on. Whether they're good thoughts or whether you're bad thoughts. God's thoughts or the devil's thoughts. You need to change your mind by replacing the temptation with the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is in this word. The Bible says that you need to resist the devil. How do you do that? By preparing for the temptation. You see, Ephesians 6:17 says, accept salvation from God to be your helmet and receive the word of God to use as a sword. You got to be ready for the battle. You've got to have on the right proper armor, and you've got to have the right proper tools. And some of you are going to battle against temptation, and you don't have the proper armor, and you don't have the proper weapons, and you're spiritually streaking into your problem. You're going buck naked into the battlefield, and you wonder why you're getting taken out. And see, Satan knows you're defenseless. You have nothing to stop. And so you fall. You see, there are two things you need to do in order to handle temptation. First of all, is salvation is the first thing. It's the first step. He says, accept salvation from God to be your helmet. What does a helmet do, friends? Protects your head, protects your mind. Because that's where the battle is going on. And because you can say no to the devil, you can learn to say yes to Jesus Christ. You got that power. It's called salvation. And if you've never opened up your mind to Jesus Christ today, you simply need to say, come in, be my Savior. And then because if you don't do that, you're absolutely defenseless against the devil. You have no weapons, no protection to all those evil thoughts, all those ugly thoughts, all those harmful thoughts. You don't have a chance of resisting him because you don't have the power. And you need to first say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and give me your power. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell you and empower you. And the second thing is you need to receive his word to use as a sword. You see, truth is the antidote to temptation. This is your sword. And this sword is useless unless you've got it in your mind. This is the most important thing that I'm going to say to you today. Without a doubt, the single most effective tool to combating temptation is to memorize Scripture. If you don't have any verses memorized, you don't have any bullets in your gun. He's not afraid of your opinion, but he does respect the truth. And when Jesus was tempted, every temptation in Matthew chapter 3, what did he do? He quoted a verse of Scripture back. Why? Because he showed us how to resist the devil. And if you've headed in the wrong direction, I want to challenge you to follow Psalm 119, who said, I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed, and I turned around and came running back to you. Run back to God today. He's not going to shame you. When you tell God your problem, he already knows what your problem is. If you feel ashamed and embarrassed, guilty about it, well, that's okay, because he will welcome you with open and loving arms. Just come to him for salvation, for his word. I didn't finish reading the letter from Paul, but this is what the rest of it says. Listen to what he says. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does help. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Here's the good news. We no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud of condemnation. There is no condemnation. A new power is in operation. The spirit life in Christ has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and temptation. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with your problem as something remote or unimportant. In his son, Jesus, who personally took on human condition, he entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. See, the answer is not a program. The answer is in a person, the person of Jesus. And that's why we have programs in our church here, but they all surround the person of Jesus. That's where the center is, because he's the one that's going to help us get through these things. You need to know Jesus, and you need to know God's word so that you can say no to temptation. Will you pray with me this morning? Would you pray this prayer in your mind as I read it, share it with you? Dear Jesus Christ, I want to accept responsibility for the temptations that I've been giving into in my life. I want to stop making excuses, stop blaming, stop downplaying their significance, and admit the failures in my life. I ask you for help. I thank you, Jesus, that you understand what I'm going through because you face those temptations. Today I'm calling on you for help. Would you give me the courage to admit my struggle to a friend or a group of friends? I know that I need to pray, and I know that I need to be honest with other people so that I may be healed. Give me the courage to take the first step. And help me to avoid tempting situations, to run from them, and most of all, help me to fill my mind with your word. I want to learn to memorize Bible verses that will help me when temptations come. And if you've never done so, would you say, Jesus Christ, I want to accept your salvation today. I want to put on the helmet that will protect my mind. I ask you to come into my heart and life and to save me and to forgive me and help me start a brand new life. In your name I pray. Amen. Worship team, won't you come?
Let's stand together.